Hi, you're listening to a message from Forward Church. We hope this message will inspire and empower you to move forward.
But today I want to share a message with you, some thoughts out of the book of John and chapter 19, verse 28. John chapter 19 and verse 28. It begins later, knowing that everything had now been finished. Everyone say finished. And so that scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said these words, "I am thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there, and so they soaked a sponge in it. And they put the sponge on a stalk of a hyssop plant, and they lifted it to Jesus' lips. And when he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." And with that, he bowed his head, and he gave up his spirit. Today, if you're making notes, the title of my message, if you're making notes, write this down. The title of my message is simply this: "It is finished." Would you say that with me wherever you're watching, whether you're in home, whether you're at work? Would you say that with me all together? One, two, three. It is finished. I want you to understand today that when Jesus died on the cross 2,000 years ago, he said these words. He completed his life and he said these words: "It is finished." I don't know about you, but do you ever feel like you can't get everything done? Have you ever gone through a day and arrived at the end of the day and have this thought, "I don't have the time"? Maybe you thought, "I don't have the money." Maybe you thought, "I don't have the energy to do everything that I've got to get done." For me, I'm a list person, and at the beginning of every day, I have a little list that I kind of work on just so I can make sure I stay focused and make sure I get the most important things done. Well, recently I had a list and I started the morning with a list and I got to the end of the day. So I started at the beginning of the day with a list. I got to the end of the day and the list that I had was longer than the list that I started with. And no matter how hard I worked that day, it just seemed like I just couldn't get everything done. No matter how hard I try, it seemed like I couldn't get everything finished. And actually, I got to say that in the middle of this COVID-19 environment that we're in, my wife was somewhat, you know, just a little bit excited about this one thing. She was excited about the fact that for a long time I've been telling her that I don't have the time to do jobs around the house. I don't have the time to fix things around the house. And then, of course, now we're in an environment where I am around the house more and I do have time. And then she gave me the list of things to do, and I discovered that time was not the problem. I had plenty of time. Time was not the issue. The issue was skill. The issue was competence. And so we arrived at the fact that when my wife wants anything done in our personal house, she doesn't call me. She calls my brother. She calls other people in the church to come and fix stuff in the house. Because we discover that although I've got plenty of time, I don't quite have the skill set to fix my own house. When it comes to building the house of God, I got plenty for that. But when it comes to our own house, my wife has to call other people. But nonetheless, the world is filled with unfinished projects, unfinished jobs. Many of us have lost money. Many of us have lost businesses. Some have even lost their homes. Some during this pandemic have lost loved ones and grieving over words that will never be said, unfinished conversations, unfinished intention, and unfinished goodbye. And the truth is that we will all die one day with unfinished business. But there is one person in history, only one, who ever got to the end of his life, died completely fulfilling his purpose. He arrived at the completion of his life, completing what he was sent here to do, and that was Christ Jesus. He finished the work that he was sent to the earth for. At the height of his ministry and miracles, many Jews came to believe in Jesus as the Messiah, the Son of God. Jewish leaders feared Jesus because of his growing followership. Roman soldiers arrested Jesus, and he was put on trial for claiming to be the King of the Jews. He according to Roman law, was punished for rebellion against the king. That punishment was death by crucifixion. The Roman governor Pontius Pilate was reluctant when it came to punishing Jesus. Pilate could find no wrong, and yet he wanted to give the people what they wanted, and they wanted the death of Christ. So Pilate washed his hands in front of the crowd to symbolize that he was not taking responsibility for the bloodshed of Christ, and he handed Jesus over to be beaten and lashed. Jesus had a crown of thorns thrust on his head, and he was made to carry the cross along a hill called Golgotha. Crowds gathered to mourn and watch Jesus' death. Jesus was nailed to the cross between two criminals and his sides pierced by a sword. While Jesus was mocked, one of the criminals asked Jesus and said to him, "Please remember me." And Jesus responded, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." Jesus then looked to the heavens and he asked God, and he said these words, "Lord, forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing." And when taking his last breath, Jesus spoke these final words. He said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And then he said these words, "It is finished." "It is finished" is a phrase translated from the Greek word tetelestai, which is the last thing that Jesus said while dying. Tetelestai comes from the word teleo, which means to bring to an end, to complete, to accomplish. It's a crucial word because it signifies the successful end of a particular course of action. It's the word you would use when you climb to the peak of a mountain. It's the word you would use when you turn in your last assignment for the year. It's the word you would use when you make your final payment on a new car. It's the word you would use when you cross the finish line for your 10-kilometer run. The word means more than just "I survived." The word means I did exactly what I set out to do. But here's the thing. It's more than just a verb. Tetelestai is the perfect tense in Greek. And in other words, it's perfect tense, which speaks of an action which has been completed, but also an action which continues into the present. It's not past tense, which is looking back and saying, "That happened." It's the perfect tense, which suggests that this has happened and is still happening today. I want you to know today that the finished work of the cross, it happened 2,000 years ago, but it is still happening today. Because of what Christ did on Calvary, his finished work is available to you and I today. So it is finished. There are three things today that I want to give you. That when Jesus died, when he rose again from the grave, when he said these words, "It is finished," there are three things that finished work means for you and I. There are three things that through that he promises to each and every one of us. The first thing that finished on the cross was death finished. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 54. "When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting?" I want to encourage you today that because of the finished work on the cross, death is finished. Philippians chapter 1 verse 21, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain." When we have Christ in our lives, we don't need to fear death because the Lord has taken the sting out of death. I remember many years ago, the last great, if you will, tragedy for our generation was 9/11, in September 11. And I remember during that time, I mean, the world had never seen an event like that. And I remember back then having a conversation similar to the conversations that I'm having now. And I remember back then a friend of mine calling me saying, "I'm afraid. With all the stuff that's going on, I don't know what to do. How should I respond now?" And I remember speaking to this person and saying to them that day, "Well, I want you to know that we can't control what happens tomorrow, but we can control how we live today. And the best thing that we can do is to not live in fear. The best thing we can do is to not live in anxiety, but the best thing we can do is to live for Christ. To live is gain. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." In other words, God's taken away death, so let's not try not to die. Let's live in such a way that we can live and win. Let's choose to live today. Yes, maybe for some of us we're socially isolated. But that doesn't mean that we can't use that time well. Maybe we can learn a new skill. We can spend quality time with our family and loved ones. Hey, we can write a book. We can sing a new song. We can do all sorts of incredible things. Because on the cross, death is finished. The second thing that finished on the cross is that fear is finished. Fear is finished. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18 out of the Message version says, there's no room in love for fear. Well-formed love banishes fear. Since fear is crippling, a fearful life, fear of death, fear of judgment, is one not yet fully formed in love. But we, though, are going to love. We are going to love and be loved. First, we were loved by Christ, and now we love. We love others because He loved us first. Fear is banished because of love. On the cross, He finished fear. How? With His display of love. The cross was the greatest display of love ever known to humankind. I love what the NIV version of that verse says. It says, love, perfect love, drives out fear. When love comes to town, you got to catch that train. When love comes to town, you got to catch the flame. Why? Because when love comes to town, fear has to go. When love comes to town, anxiety has to go. When love comes to town, doubt has to go. Hey, when love comes to town, cynicism has to go, because perfect love drives out fear. And I want to encourage you, love and fear cannot cohabitate. So let me encourage you, get the love of God in your life. When the love of God comes, then fear has to leave, because on Calvary, fear is finished. And the third thing that the cross, the finished work of the cross, offers to you and I, the third thing that finished on Calvary was that separation from God was finished. Separation from God finished on Calvary. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12 says, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, at that time excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenant of promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ, you who were once far away have been brought near by the precious blood of Jesus. In other words, by the sacrifice on the cross, you who were once far are now close. Separation from God was finished because Jesus fulfilled the great work, the great promise on Calvary. He took the sting of death. He stretched out His arms and He says, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. And then He said these words, it is finished. Verse 14 of Ephesians chapter 2, for He Himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one. He has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. In other words, when He gave His life in those last few moments, and His last words, it is finished, He finished the separation between God and man. He finished the separation between humanity and divinity. He finished it. Once there was a gap, once there were two sides, and He brought them together on the cross, because He finished separation from God. And when Jesus cried out, it is finished, what He was actually saying is, it was finished in the past, it is finished in the present, and it will remain finished in the future. He did not say, I am finished, implying that He died defeated and exhausted. No. Rather, He cried out, it is finished. Meaning, I completed the work that I came to do. Tetelestai is the Savior's final cry of victory. When He died, He left no unfinished business behind. When He said, it is finished, it was done. And so maybe today, from wherever you're watching, maybe you're in a lounge room, maybe you're in a car, maybe you're at work, maybe you're at home. I want to encourage you today, and I want you to understand that every divide, every reason, every self-imposed reason why you think that God doesn't love you, every self-imposed rationale around why you might think you're not good enough and not worthy enough, I want you to know that when Jesus died on the cross, he finished all of that. When he died on the cross, he made a way where there was no way. When he died on the cross, he purchased freedom and forgiveness for all mankind. And maybe you're watching today, and maybe like many, many others who are watching today, you're saying, everything that's going on around me, I'm not sure why all this is happening. But I do know that there are some things that I've been holding on to that now all of a sudden that I thought would say, well, they aren't. And so now I'm just searching. And friend, at the age of 21, I was searching. Had everything in the world that I thought I needed, but felt terribly empty inside. And my whole world was changed. My whole world was shaken. In a moment when I heard a man speak a message just like this, and he offered to pray for me and introduce me to the Creator of heaven and earth, the Savior of the world. And on that day, at the age of 21, I said what some of you are about to say, many of you are about to say right now, I said yes. And from that day, at the age of 21 until now, my life has taken the most radical turn, that following Jesus has been the greatest thing I've ever done, and at times the hardest thing I've ever done, but the most fulfilling thing I've ever done. And friend, I want to encourage you today that maybe you once knew God, or maybe you never knew him at all. Maybe you're kind of known of him, but you don't know him personally. Maybe you grew up in church and then you walked away from him because you kind of got tired of religion. Well, today I'd love to pray for you, and I'd love to introduce you not to a religion, but to a relationship with Christ. And if you're watching right now, then in a moment, I'd love to pray with you, and I'd love to invite you to join me in this prayer. And so in a moment, I'm going to pray for you. And as I do, at the end of that, then I'm going to ask you to do one incredibly brave thing. Then I'm going to ask you in a moment to write down the words yes in the chat there. And as you write down the word yes, or there's a little link at the top of the Facebook page, then I want you to click that. And in a moment, if that's you and you're saying, yeah, that's me, I need to get my life right with God. Yeah, that's me. Everything you've been talking about is exactly how I feel, is exactly who I am, exactly what I'm going through. Then my friend, that I want you to know that God is calling you. And right now the Holy Spirit is invading every home, every device, right now, forward at home, wherever you're watching, wherever you are in Australia, across New Zealand, wherever you are in the world, right now, I believe the presence and the power of God is right there in your space. And I'm going to pray with you right now. I'm going to lead you in a prayer, and I'd love every person to pray this prayer out loud. If you're in a room full of people with your family, then I want you to all pray this prayer out loud. And if that's you, you're saying, look, I want to pray this prayer, and that's me, this prayer is mine, then I want you to pray this prayer from your heart, because the Bible calls that faith. Let's all pray together. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you that you love me so much. You died on the cross and rose again to forgive me of my sin. From today on, I'm living for you. I give you my whole heart. I give you my whole life. I'm holding on to you because you always held on to me. From this day on, I'm a child of God. I thank you for your love, for your mercy, and your amazing grace. From today on, I'm moving forward in Jesus. And Jesus.
Thanks for listening. If you'd like more information, please visit our website, boardchurch.com.